Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. And as you're turning there, a man and his friend went to church, and as they were coming out, the preacher was standing at the door, as he always did, to shake hands. He grabbed my friend by the hand, and he pulled him aside. The pastor said to him, "You need to join the army of the Lord." The friend replied, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor." The pastor questioned him. He said, "Well, then how come I don't see you except for Christmas and Easter?" He leaned close and whispered to the pastor. He said, "I'm in the Secret Service." Secret Service, Harley. Amen. This morning, we are going to look at Jesus' courtroom. In our songs leading up and Memorial Day weekend, you know, we certainly look back at the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who paid it all for us and the sacrifice that he made. But when he comes again, he is not going to be that lamb. He will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And this morning, we're going to look at his courtroom. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible tells us it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. Make no mistake about it. Regardless of what we believe, regardless of what we choose to believe, what we want to believe, there is a judgment day coming. Almighty God and his word guarantee it. Amen? Let's look at the book of Revelation, chapter 20, starting at verse 11. Again, we're going to look at Jesus' courtroom. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There is coming a day, and I believe that day is ever so near, when God will put the final period, after the final sentence, after the final paragraph, after the final chapter, after the final book of history is written. Very soon. The millennium will come to an end, and time as we know it will also end. And the dead will rise from the tombs, from the graves, to be judged. One by one, the unsaved will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will face the final great white throne judgment. This is exactly what we're looking at here this morning. And as we see again, we're looking here at Jesus' courtroom, verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them." An almost unspeakable, undescribable scene. We need to understand and understand what we're looking at here. Again, this is a courtroom setting. In that courtroom, we see that God is describing that there is a bench or a throne. Not just any throne. The Bible calls it a great white throne. Great, we need to understand that that speaks of its mighty power and its authority. White. White speaks of its purity, its sheer wisdom, its perfect wisdom. And a throne tells of its purpose, because sovereign God himself is seated upon it. And I hope and pray that everyone hearing the sound of my voice will never have to stand before this throne. Amen. For those who do, they are damned for eternity. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. So who is this one seated upon the throne? Well, if you looked at the title of today's message, you would see. It's Jesus Christ himself. A lot of people say, but Pastor, isn't Jesus our Savior? He absolutely is. But he is also the judge of all. John chapter 5, verse 22. Jesus said, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to who? To the Son." How much judgment? All judgment. Amen? All judgment is reserved for Jesus Christ himself. Can't we judge a little bit? Can't we point a finger now and again? We're usurping his authority when we do. Amen? Jesus has been reserved for all judgment. We don't have the right to judge anybody. And we need to understand, absolutely, Jesus came to us the first time as that meek and mild Lamb of God. But when he returns, he will come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is both Savior, but also judge of all. And what we need to understand, and we need to mark this down, that every single person is going to meet Jesus Christ. Amen? We will all meet him as one or the other. Amen? As a lamb or a lion. As a savior or a judge. One way or another, we will all stand before him and we will come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that unavoidable, inescapable person in every single life. Amen? You may have mocked him. You may have used his name in vain. You may have ignored him, denied him. You may have chose not to believe in him. None of that matters. It doesn't matter what we choose to believe. What matters is the guarantee that we will all meet Jesus Christ one day. Amen? Plain and simple. Verse 11, we also see, the Bible says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled. So we need to go back a couple chapters to kind of get a little more insight on what that means. Go back to Revelation chapter 1, skipping down to verse 13. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one, like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. Friend, that is the one sitting upon that great white throne. He is wearing, we see here that he's wearing the robes of a king, a priest, and a judge. The only one worthy to carry all three titles. Priest, king, and judge. His hair, we see here, is as white as snow. Again, that speaks of his perfect wisdom, his purity, his pure righteousness as he's seated on that great white throne. His eyes like a flame of fire. We need to understand that those eyes don't just see us, but they see right through us. Amen? They see into the motives of our heart. They see exactly why we do what we do. Not just serving the Lord. Are we doing it just to get a pat on the back? Are we doing it so others recognize our service? Or do we do things behind the scenes that no one ever knows just because we love him? and we want to give back for all that He's given us. Those eyes, the flaming fire, they see right through us. They see our motives. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Jesus Christ, He cannot be deceived. He cannot be discredited. He cannot be disputed. He is the Almighty Judge, Jesus. We also see here the Bible says He has feet like fine brass. Well, we need to understand that in the Bible, brass is always synonymous with judgment. And His voice is the sound of many waters. Anyone ever been to Niagara Falls? Hear that roar of that one waterfall. Well, think of 10,000 Niagara Falls put together. And that's what His voice sounds like. And it speaks of His thunderous authority as He pushes forth judgment out of that great white throne. We need to understand that this is the one seated upon that throne. No wonder the earth and the heavens fled from His presence. Everything in this world that man used to rely upon is now gone, and time is now up. All of the unsaved, those who are undone without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they must now stand before Him and stand before Him and He as their judge, the great white throne. So we see Jesus' courtroom. Now I want us to consider Jesus' court order. Go to verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. This means every single unsaved person, every single person who chose to reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will receive heaven's court order to appear before the judge, Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how magnanimous or how insignificant a person saw themselves as. They will stand before the Almighty Judge Jesus on that day. Now, those who were ordered to come to this judgment can really be placed into four categories, four groups. The first is that blatant sinner. Amen? They're the ones that hate God. They hate His church. They hate Christians and everything of Christ. They're the ones not afraid to shake their fist at God. They believe that no one is big enough to make them bow down before Him. We see many like this today, don't we? They will all stand before the great white throne. Second group, the self-righteous. We have the blatant sinner, but then we also have the self-righteous. They think that since they are not that blatant sinner, I'm glad I'm not one of them type. Amen. We've seen them before. We've come across their paths. They believe since they're not the blatant sinner that they are good enough to get into heaven. They feel the gospel is for that thief, that murderer, those blatant sinners. Certainly the gospel's not for them. They may be fine, upright citizens, the greatest neighbors in the neighborhood, but they don't believe that they need to be saved. They think of themselves as a good person and therefore righteous enough to get into heaven. The Bible makes it very clear that our righteousness is as what? As filthy rags. None of us are righteous enough to get into heaven on our own. We cannot earn our way into heaven by doing good deeds, by trying to be a good person. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, period. Amen? And in this age of egomaniacs, this time of it's all about me mentality, there are going to be millions of self-righteous standing before the great white throne. The third group, that's the procrastinators. Those who know they're lost, they understand that they are undone without Christ. They know they need to give their heart and their life to Christ. They have every intention to get right with God, just not today. Amen. Just not today. I'm just not ready. I have more time, they believe. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Amen. We don't know when our last day will be upon this earth. Amen. We don't know that. We don't have any guarantees. We can never take for granted that we're going to have more time. We need to understand that the last opportunity to be offered an invitation, the last opportunity to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord may be today. Maybe this very hour. But on that day, standing before the great throne will be a courtroom full of people who believed they had more time. The last group, this one may shock you, but it's the religious. The religious. Those that have religion, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Many are even church members. Their name is on the church member book, but it's not in the Lamb's book of life. Now, I'm not saying that I'm against church membership. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about those who believe religion is the answer. That they believe just because they're a member of a church that they're saved. They believe that being a religious person makes them okay in God's eyes. We need to understand the Bible makes it clear that Jesus died for the church. Amen. Not this building. Who's the church? Every single born-again believer. Amen. Jesus paid it all for his church, for the body of believers. Church membership is not the way. We as a church body, our job is simply to point to the way. Jesus Christ himself. Amen. But this church alone is not the way. We're just the ones pointing people in the right direction. And there will be a great multitude standing before the great white throne on that day that were deceived by religion. Amen. Now that we know who received that court order, let's look at from where they came from. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great. Skip down to verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, or hell, delivered up the dead who were in them. We need to understand that when the Bible talks here about death, death is referencing the grave. And the grave is for what? It's for the body. Amen? The physical grave is for the physical body. The grave is not for the soul. Amen? It's not for the soul and spirit. It's just for the physical body. Right here where it says Hades is talking about hell. Again, the grave gets the body, but for the unsaved, hell gets their soul. Amen? Death is not distinction, or extinction, I'm sorry. Death is not extinction. Death is always separation. Amen? We talk about the first death. That is when our soul and spirit is separated from our physical body. Amen? And here we're talking, when we see this great white throne judgment, and it says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You say, preacher, well, where's the separation there? That is when the soul of the unsaved is forever separated from who? From holy God. Death, whether it's the first death or the second death, is always separation. It's never extinction. When we die, that's when our soul is separated from the body. Our body goes into the grave, but our soul, based on our relationship, not our religion, based on our relationship with Jesus Christ, goes in one of two places. The Apostle Paul said for the believer, absent from the body, present. That's ever present with the Lord. But for the unsaved, their soul goes straight to Hades. Now, Hades is not the eternal lake of fire. Amen? The word here that we see in chapter 20 where it says the lake of fire, that word is Gehenna. That is speaking of that eternal lake of fire. But the word Hades here is a different word. Hades is a temporary place of confinement for those who are unsaved that have died apart from Jesus Christ before the great white throne judgment. Amen? You can kind of think of it in terms of even today's justice system, right? When a guilty person is first arrested, they're taken to where? They're taken to jail, a temporary holding cell, a temporary place of confinement until they can do what? Go and stand before who? The judge. Amen? And then when the judge hands down their sentence, that's when they go to their permanent jail, their permanent place of confinement to serve out their sentence. But when we're talking about our soul, the unsaved, their sentence is an eternity in the eternal lake of fire. Not something that we need to take lightly. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. What are these books? First, God speaks of one specific book, the book of life. We need to understand that is the Lamb's book of life. Every single person that ever gave their heart to Jesus Christ, their name goes where? It's written down in the Lamb's book of life for eternity. But then we also see that there are other books. It says, and books were opened. What are these books? These we can look at as, you know, again, it's a courtroom setting. These are the evidence books. The evidence books. This is where God keeps a record of everything that we have ever done. And yes, especially those things that we've done in secret. No one else may have known, but Almighty God does. He keeps a record. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Romans 2:16. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. There is nothing that is hidden from God. Amen. But praise God The blood of Jesus Christ covers all the evidence of the born-again believer's life. Amen. The only thing that God sees when he opens up the book is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. So now that we've seen the courtroom, we've seen Jesus' courtroom, we've seen his court order, now let's consider his condemning verdict. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged. You need to underline that in your Bible. Plain and simple, they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into Gehenna, the lake of fire. And they were judged. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. They were judged. No high-priced lawyers to get them off. This verdict, we need to understand, is certain, and it is sure for those who are unsaved. Now listen. Today, if you want mercy, you can have it. If you want grace, you can have it. If you want forgiveness of everything that you've ever done wrong, you can have it, and it is freely given through Jesus Christ. Amen. But on that day, it's going to be too late. We must receive his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness and be covered by his precious blood on this side of eternity. Because mercy will no longer be found when you stand before the great white throne. It's far too late at that point. Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to listen to what God says here. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. It's talking about the law, the Old Testament. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You've heard the gospel. You've received the invitation. It will do no good on that day to plead for mercy. God's mercy has a timeline on it. And there is a day when it will run out, when his mercy will be overtaken by his judgment, when that lamb will turn into the lion of the tribe of Judah. The evidence against us is overwhelming. Our guilt is indisputable. And for those who are unsaved, those who choose to reject Jesus Christ, judgment is 100% certain. But praise God that today is still the day of salvation. Amen. Praise God that today, if you want it, you can receive his mercy. Praise God that today, if you want his grace, you can freely have it. You still have that opportunity to come to Christ today. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "But do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to come to him today in a reverent fear, understanding who he is, that he is Almighty God, that today he is still that Lamb of God who gave his life for you, who shed his precious blood, that you can come and receive that mercy and that grace and that forgiveness of your sins. Come with a reverent fear and turn your life and your heart over to him before it's eternally too late.